All right, Nick Pecoro joins us of the Arizona Republic. And, Nick, today we're going to look through the window of baseball with you. And it's brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. So Nick is with us as he looks to his left, looking through the screen here, the hockey plexiglass out onto the plaza.
Do they have any sort of win streak bet going on with their fans like they did in Cleveland? Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. That was a great story. Cleveland would win, 20 in a row, I think? It was 20. If you bought window siding or whatever it is.
Yeah, you got them for free.
You got it for free. It cost them $1.5 million.
Well, wow. It actually cost them less because they were smart enough to get an insurance policy.
$70,000.
Wow.
Insurance policy.
Now, the weird thing about the Indians fans is they still weren't selling out Progressive Field even during the streak.
Well, those folks who got the free windows, they were pretty pumped.
They were excited.
And they sold it out at the end, I'll tell you that.
They
it was
did.
Pretty
okay.
good. All right, Nick joins us. And, Nick, it's been a pleasure having you on all year long. We see Nick over the winter and down in Arizona. My thought for you is this. Last year at this time, I remember talking with you, and I was sort of getting ready for the playoffs, perhaps, and you were heading home to Arizona. And not
I was
much...
down in the dumps.
Yes, you were, and then this year it's the reverse.
Yeah.
And baseball changes so quickly. Let's talk about how Arizona did it, and can the Giants do something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been talking to some people around, some Giants people around here the last few days, and I don't know. I mean, I think with the Diamondbacks, there was such high expectations, such a young team. Everything kind of felt like it was going to come together last year. It didn't really happen. Really, I think it comes down to the starting pitching. I mean, right now, it's the best rotation in the National League. And, I mean, if you're going to look at it and be optimistic from the Giants' perspective, they have that same potential, right? I mean, if Bumgarner's healthy, if Cueto bounces back the way that Greinke has bounced back, you know, Samardzija, Matt Moore, there's some pieces there, right? The thing is with the Diamondbacks is they have such a talented group of position players as well. Kind of, you know, a lot of young players or guys in their primes at least, guys that are athletic and kind of dynamic. Not sure I see that same sort of composition of the position player group as the Giants do.
Yeah, and Hazen went out and got a huge addition to the lineup, getting a right-handed power bat in Martinez, who, by the way, has 4 homers in his last 7 days. So that didn't hurt.
No, he's been amazing. I mean, he's hit, I think Baggerly made the point last night that he's hit 23 home runs, which is more than anybody on the Giants has this season. Which is a fair amount. And he has 23 home runs since coming to the Diamondbacks on July 18th. That's insane.
Will they keep him? I know they'd love to, but...
I don't know. It seems like a long shot to me. I mean, I think he's going to end up getting, you know, $100 million, north of $100 million potentially. I mean, this is a guy that's just turned 30. He's had a 925 OPS and, you know, one of the... Not just a power hitter, but a guy that hits for average, a guy that draws his walks. I think there's going to be a lot of teams interested. I think there could be some big market teams interested. I think it could drive up the price. The thing is, he likes Arizona. He really has loved playing with this group of guys and would like to come back. So, I mean, you know, they have a little bit of a built-in advantage there. But I think that when you're talking about Greinke already under contract, you're going to have to contend with a Paul Goldschmidt extension sometime in the next couple of years, probably. You know, maybe they could sign Martinez as almost an insurance in case Goldschmidt walks, but I think they want to bring him back. I think you're talking about payroll numbers that, unless they know something we don't and they're, you know, already planning on a, you know, maybe $125 or $140 million payroll compared to the $100 where they are right now, it's just hard to see it happening.
The Diamondbacks took care of the Rockies. They took care of the Dodgers.
Yep.
You got to feel pretty good covering this team heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would have asked me, 3 weeks ago or maybe
I did.
About a month ago. I wasn't quite as confident.
I was. Remember, yeah. I kept telling you about that. I said they got the pitching to give the Dodgers trouble.
It you know, the struggles that they had, it was a 6 or 7 week period where they just weren't swinging the bats. It didn't make sense with as talented of a group as they had. It kind of felt like it was bound to break out at some point, but... You know, the longer that stuff goes, I mean, it's like the Dodgers' struggles for the last couple of weeks. Like, you know, I think I was saying, you know, 6, 7 days ago, like, hey, we're going to look up in 5 days and be like, oh, the Giants or the Dodgers are fine. You know, there's no reason to be worried. The Dodgers are they're the Dodgers. But the longer those struggles went, the more concerned you got. So, yeah, it's hard to get out of the moment sometimes. But you were right. You know, the Diamondbacks are in good shape going into the postseason. You got to like, even if Greinke starts that wild card game, and it winds up being Kershaw, Robbie Ray in the first round. That's not a bad matchup for the Diamondbacks. It really isn't.
No, Robbie Ray is legit. He's awesome. What is the weakness of this team in a postseason series?
Yeah, I think it would probably be the bullpen. I mean, how confident are you or is anyone in Fernando Rodney when he comes into a game? You know, Archie Bradley is tremendous. Other than that, you're a little bit worried about whoever's coming in. They haven't really been able to get much stability in the seventh inning. Their lefties are struggling or have been in recent weeks. You know, but again, that's the sort of thing that can change quickly. And the other thing is when you get to the postseason, maybe you're going to have Zach Godley to kind of move into the bullpen and become another weapon down there. We'll see.
Good.
Well, I think that's the key is getting him into the bullpen. And the Giants have done it for years of getting that extra guy to be the bridge. Fifth inning to the seventh inning, sixth inning to the eighth inning. And I think that's the key. And Godley, I would imagine, is ungodly. We talked about him. Remember, we talked about him the last time you were here. About Godley. He's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's good. Yeah. It's amazing. This could be the best Diamondbacks rotation in club history, really.
Now, isn't it funny when you say this, Nick, and it's funny, you say, well, it's Robbie Ray against Kershaw. That's not a bad matchup
it's
for
a good
the
one.
Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
How about saying those words?
Yeah, Robbie Ray has looked so good and especially so good against the Dodgers in recent weeks. He's had some of his best outings of the season at Dodger Stadium. He's tremendous, man. I mean, he's not far from that Cy Young conversation. I feel like if he hadn't missed that month of starts, you know, after the line drive, he'd be right up there.
Well, that brings another point that I want to bring up, and that is Greinke in the Cy Young conversation.
Yeah.
I know we talk Kershaw, we talk Scherzer.
Why isn't
Zach Greinke?
I mean, well, we're talking about him in Arizona, at least.
Right.
I don't know nationally, but I think you compare him to Scherzer, it's hard to give Greinke a nod in really most categories. Scherzer has some sort of edge on him, and I mean, you know, it's. If Greinke had, I mean, I guess he has wins, maybe. Does he have a better record?
Yeah.
But, I mean, people don't look at that as much
strikeouts.
Anymore. Yeah, but Scherzer has 245 strikeouts or something like that. I just think he's got fewer base runners. Doesn't he have a slightly lower ERA? I mean, he's
slightly.
Just got an edge in every
category. Let me
category.
See. I got it right.
Yeah,
here.
Slightly lower. I don't know. I think what I see at Greinke, and he's got another starter, too.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's still not over.
Yeah,
somebody could get blown up, and somebody could...
Yeah, because Scherzer did get blown up. Yeah. He got walloped the other day.
Nick, let me ask you, as long as we're talking after the season awards, MVP, Paul Goldschmidt, Charlie Blackmon, who we all watch a lot of. I'm putting Jansen in there. As somebody's had a phenomenal year for the Dodgers, and Anthony Rendon. Who am I forgetting, and how are you going to handicap the MVP race in the National League?
I have that vote. I try not to look too closely at it until we get right down to the end. I don't want to, like, go in, you know, late in September thinking one thing, but it's hard when you're around Paul Goldschmidt on a daily basis to not start thinking about that. You know, selfishly, I hope that either he has a tremendous final couple of weeks or a terrible final couple of weeks to make that decision a little bit easier for me, a little less controversial. That's the last thing I want as a beat writer, is having to make that kind of decision on a player you cover. I find it very stressful, personally.
You know, frankly, I don't think, well, I don't know how it should work, but I don't think you should be able to vote for you.
No, that's a thought.
For somebody that you cover.
Yeah, I don't, because I think, number one, these votes are public. And I remember John Hickey had trouble with the A-Rod years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, right.
You know, he covered Seattle. And why should you have that pressure?
I think it's set up in a way, it's almost like the Senate, right, where you've got like two seats in every district or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I think it's done in a way sort of to combat the small market, large market thing, and I think that it makes sense to a degree, but... It's just, it is tough when you're the guy that's going in the clubhouse every day. I mean, years ago, I didn't vote for Brandon Webb for Cy Young, and, you know, some of the guys were upset with me. And it's a pain in the butt to have to deal with.
Well, because everything is transparent now. All these votes are...
Which they should be.
...are made public.
Yeah, which they should
and,
be.
And I think that's why you don't have official scorers from the newspapers anymore, you know, because of that reason.
But do you think I'm too far off in considering Kenley Jansen as MVP candidate? I know closers rarely get that award, but
for me, yeah,
he's been so good for the
he's
Dodgers.
He's been awesome. For me, though, it's probably about the innings that you'd be contributing. I mean, I think if you look at like I would definitely consider a starter. I think I voted Kershaw for an MVP that year. For me, like a starter throws, you know, 200 innings. That's 600 outs he's recording. Another like 150 batters he's facing. So that's 750-ish plate appearances. That's about the same number as an everyday player gets. That's the way I like to look at it. Now, there's not the defensive component, but I just think a guy that's throwing, you know, 60, 70 innings as a closer, as dominant and as valuable as that spot is, like on a daily basis, I get that. It's not the total value of, or total body of value that you're providing, in my opinion.
Yeah, in today's world, I think you'd have to have 70 saves. Because the numbers are so important now.
He got his 38th yesterday, so...
I mean, the stat numbers, the stat people like Nick just brought out, how many batters do you face, percentage of home runs given up, and all the stats that we never really considered. Because Smoltz was a tremendous... Eckersley was tremendous. Yep. Mike Marshall. You go back to Willie Hernandez and the Tigers. Those are different days.
Yeah, I think if you had a reliever that threw 120 innings...
Marshall.
Yeah, if you could get that kind of guy where you're going to him two innings every couple of days, it's just it's hard to imagine that sort of thing with the risk of injury and all of that. There's that era has come and gone, right?
All right,
definitely.
Well, boy, because then you'd be two people. You'd be the eighth inning guy and the ninth inning
guy. Well, he had a four-out save earlier this week here at AT&T.
We'll see how they use him in the postseason. How relievers are used, because we see that they want to get those starters out as quickly as possible. But I think for Washington, they're going to leave them in longer.
Yep.
And I think for you guys, you're going to leave them in longer.
I think the way that they've handled Archie Bradley this season, they've been very careful with him, and I think the thinking is that that will allow them to kind of let the reins off when they get to October.
All right, Nick, great to have you with us as always. You've done this for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. And for being a guest on our show today, you got a very special gift from us.
Yeah.
And it is the newest pin from the Marty Lurie fan club.
It's got Marty's face on it. It says, "That's baseball." It's going right on my back.
Very good.
Oh,
Nick, Nick, thanks so much. We call you, and you've always been very gracious
with
us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Nick Pecoro, Arizona Republic. All right.